Good morning. I'm opening this meeting of the House Committee on Revenue. This is Monday, May 6th. Two public hearings on our agenda. We will take those hearings in the order printed on the agenda. I'm opening a public hearing on House Bill 2138.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee. House Bill 2138 is one of the measures for a six-year sunset extension of the tax credits that are up for review during this session. The tax credit in front of you in House Bill 2138 is it's a $250 personal income tax credit that's allowed to individuals that are licensed providers of emergency medical services who provide those services as a volunteer in a rural area. So again, this is one of the standard credits up for sunset review. So the language in the House Bill 2138 is just that standard language of extending that sunset an additional 6 years with no other policy change in the bill.
Thank you. So we've had a change in the gavel. I have it now, as Rep. Nathanson needed to leave for a few minutes. So we have two folks signed up to testify, one on the phone. Is he available now?
The call cannot be completed as dialed.
Okay.
Please consult your directory and call again or ask your operator for assistance.
We will.
This is the recording.
Do you want to take a few minutes to get him up and we'll go on to the person who's here? This is Wayne Endersby.
Good morning.
Mr. Endersby, are you there?
Yes, I am. How are you?
Very well. Thank you. Welcome to the House Revenue Committee. We're glad you're on the phone to testify. We are in a public hearing on House Bill 2138, and you have something to share with us.
I do, and thank you for taking my testimony. I am an EMT intermediate over here in Eastern Oregon. I live in Halfway, Oregon, and just want to say how much I appreciate the tax credit that we've been getting. It's very important for us out here. To give you some examples, when I got my intermediate training, I had to travel to Baker twice a month. Two weekends a month, I should say, which is a 100-mile round trip, which the fuel for that was on my dime and food was on my dime. When we did the intermediate update, I had to travel to John Day two weekends a month. I usually spent the night over there and shared a motel with friends, and that was all on my dime as well. So it's very important for us. A more tangible example for me is, and I think I'm like most EMTs in rural Oregon, when I live 17 miles from the station, and so when we're responding to a call, then I leave my house and I take my pickup because oftentimes I'm trailing the ambulance. And I respond to the scene with my pickup. So some of the places we go are pretty rough and not suitable for a passenger car. So if I just respond to the station at 17 miles and one way, and my pickup gets about 16 miles to the gallon, and so I figure it takes about 2 gallons of fuel for me to go to a call and come home, which at $3 a gallon is $6. So our call volume is such here that we have about 50 calls to 70 calls a year, and with training over at the station and meetings, then I probably do that trip at least 50 times a year. So you're just in that alone, that's $300 out of my pocket at 6 times 50 trips over there at 34 miles round trip. And that doesn't include anything else. So the tax credit has been very valuable for me. And it truly is appreciated. So I hope those were some good examples. I could probably go on, but I know your time is limited, and I don't want to take up all your time.
Well, thank you so much for being here with you. Just let's pause for a second, see if there are any questions for you before we let you go.
Okay.
All right. It looks like no questions. You were very thorough in your testimony, and we thank you very much for standing by and talking with us.
All right, and thank you for all you guys do, too, as well. All right, take care.
Bye-bye. And we have one person here in The Flash, Sam Barber.
Thank you, Chair March. For the record, Sam Barber here on behalf of the Oregon Rural Health Association. I'm not sure most Oregonians are aware that once they leave the Willamette Valley, they are dependent in great measure upon volunteers to respond if an emergency should occur. The more rural the area, the more dependent upon volunteers the local emergency response agency is. Most volunteer EMS personnel, as you just heard, must pay out of their pockets for their initial training, their continuing education, as well as travel and other expenses. On top of that, they must take time away from their jobs and families in order to maintain an emergency response 24/7. The $250 tax credit is both a small token of appreciation and a small incentive for Oregonians to continue to become emergency medical providers. Approximately 500 people collected the credit in 2017 at a cost of $250,000 to the state over the last biennium. The Rural Health Association believes this is a small price to pay for the volunteers who help save lives. We hope you will join us in supporting rural emergency response by voting yes on House Bill 2138. Thank you. Yeah.
Questions for Mr. Barber? I have one quick one. Sure. So 400 people collected the tax credit, 450?
Approximately 500, I believe.
500. Do we have any idea how many volunteer EMTs there are out there? What percentage of the EMTs are able to use the tax credit?
That is a good question, Chair Marsh. That is a good question. I do not know off the top of my head. I would assume there are more than the 500. Mm-hmm. In order to qualify for the credit, you have to spend at least 20% of your time as an EMT or as an EMS provider in order to volunteering in order to receive the credit. Mm-hmm. So I would assume that there are some that maybe spend slightly less. I would also assume that there may be retirees, for example, who don't have an income and therefore could not collect the tax credit.
Right. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
So that concludes testimony on House Bill 2138.
Yes. Just a quick question for Kyle, if I may.
Sure.
Thank you. So I'm looking at the revenue impact. It's $100,000, it looks like, for this biennium coming up. And is that because I'm looking at it says 2019, 2020, zero, and then 2020, 2021 is the $100K. Is it zero because that's included in what's currently being done, and then we pick up next year starting the clock for the extension? Is that why it's zero and then one? Because I see that in not only this bill but other bills that we're looking to renew.
Yeah, Representative, that's exactly right. It's a comparative to the baseline. Okay. And because the sunsets right now for the ones that are the standard review this session, it splits the biennium as well. When the sunset hits, it hits that one of the tax years. So that's why you see it pretty much double in the second biennium out too for all these pretty consistently.
All right, thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Okay. Thank you, Kyle. So we'll close the public hearing on 2138 and we'll open a public hearing on House Bill 3028 as amended.
Okay, Madam Chair, members of the committee.
Thank you, Kyle.
Yes, House Bill 3028 is a bill that's making changes to Oregon's Earned Income Tax Credit. Now again, this the Earned Income Tax Credit is one of the nine tax credits that's up for review as well this session. And this committee did hear the standard six-year extension of the Oregon Earned Income Tax Credit legislation back in February. Excuse me. What House Bill 3028 does is it extends that six-year sunset that's in place right now. So it's extending the sunset to 2026. But it's also making additional changes that would expand Oregon's Earned Income Tax Credit. So the way Oregon's Earned Income Tax Credit works is it's a percentage of the federal Earned Income Tax Credit. So a taxpayer would calculate their federal one on their federal return, and then Oregon's tax credit is simply a percentage of that federal tax credit. And the percentages we have in place right now are the standard is going to be 8% of your federal credit, or for taxpayers with a dependent under the age of three, it would be 11%. So it's a slightly more or larger percentage. In the bill, the changes are the standard amount, that 8%, would go to 12% of the federal credit. Taxpayers with a dependent under the age of three, it would move from 11% to 18% of the federal. And then for taxpayers that have a dependent, that youngest dependent between the ages of 3 and 6, the percentage would be 15%. So right now, current law, we're 8% or 11%. Under House Bill 3028A, it would go to 12%, 15%, or 18%, depending upon the if you have a dependent in those age parameters. And the final change in 3028 is also allowing filers or taxpayers that use an individual tax ID number. So this is something that's commonly referred to as ITIN. It's something that's not allowed at the federal level, and because of that, it's not allowed here in Oregon as our credit as a percentage of the federal. So Oregon, in this case, would specifically allow taxpayers that are using this ITIN in place of a Social Security number to qualify for Oregon's earned income tax credit. So there's the changes to the percentages and then that other additional change related to the ITIN.
Questions for Kyle?
Yes.
What's the rationale for the ITIN exemption or change to that to allow those? Would that provide the tax credit for people without Social Security numbers, so for non-residents?
Yeah, Representative Finley. So right now, the IRS level, they require the initial filer, if it's a, or it could be both filers, if it's a, someone married filing jointly, and then also the dependents, if there are, to also have the Social Security number. So in this case, yes, this would expand who could possibly take this credit here in Oregon.
Other questions for Kyle? I have a couple, Kyle. I didn't see any fiscal calculator for this yet. Is there one?
There is now.
We have it up in the meeting materials. I'll make sure.
It seemed like it.
Make sure it's
what I saw said needs additional analysis.
Yeah, so the Representative Marsh, the fiscal was no expenditure impact on the fiscal side of things. The revenue impacts, right, when this left the, and this does come from the House or the House Human Services and Housing Committee. We did give a revenue impact, but did include the revenue light. The numbers were a little bit more rounded than they will be at the final version, mm-hmm. As things were still being considered. But that is up there in OLIS as well. I'm pulling that up. Which I think so the standard, extending the sunset of just the 6 years with no changes to the 8 and 11% mm-hmm. was about, in the first line in the 1921, so that one tax year was about $55 million. With the changes in House Bill 3028, we're expecting that about $45 million higher. Just checking, I believe it was at
95. I'm looking at 95 and then 200 and then 210.
Yes, and that's the additional cost is about $40 million per year of the changes in 3028 compared to just extending the standard six-year sunset. But in terms of just the straight cost, instead of being $55 million, you're up to $95 million in that first 1921 biennium.
And I have one other question, which is since for the use of the EINs, if those individuals don't qualify for the federal, how difficult is it for us to calculate their state benefit?
Yeah, Representative Marsh, in the bill, I believe it does give some rulemaking authority to DOR and how to handle that. In many cases, something like this, it would be filing. We could still use the federal forms and just have the taxpayer fill that out, but it won't be on their federal return. So they would be required to run through that earned income tax calculation, the federal calculation, I would assume, to get to Oregon's credit and just apply that percentage. So it would be an additional step we'd have on the Oregon return, since it's not the federal return that the taxpayer is filing, assuming they're filing the federal return.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll go to our panels. First, I will call up Matt Newell Ching, Janet Bauer, and Magali Garcia. Oh, Rep. Reardon. Sorry, I didn't see you come in. Please join us.
Chair Nathanson, I just dashed over from another hearing.
We're glad you're with us.
Okay, I'll try that again. So Chair Marsh and members of the committee, thank you for having me here this morning.
Excuse me.
For the record, I'm Representative Jeff Reardon, representing House District 48. And so I wanted to thank you for taking time today to hear this House Bill 3028. And this is a bill to renew and, more importantly, raise the earned income tax credit. I actually carried this bill when it was first introduced a few years ago. I really like the earned income tax credit because it puts money back in the pockets of working parents and gives them the ability to better care for their children, reduces the need for state resources for low-income families. I really think about a lot of the kids that are kids. They're all kids to me anymore, I think. But the young people that are maybe trying to get through that community college, they have a family, and they're like one car repair away from having to drop out of school. So something like a tax credit of this nature gives them that chance to put a few bucks away and have it for emergencies or whatever. Maybe it's an extra car seat or something that they need, but it's a relatively small amounts. But it's sort of a buffer that might be able to help them. It does, the EITC helps offset any taxes or revenue increases that can hit lower income Oregonians the hardest. We know the smallest changes can have large impacts, so this is one tool that helps mitigate that increase. So I think as we look at other changes to the tax structure that are going on during this session, we really need to keep the earned income tax credit in mind as a way to help protect those young families that are trying to work their way out of poverty. It's widely regarded as one of the best ways to support working families with children. And when we passed this in 2016, it was overwhelming bipartisan, 57-3 vote in the House. 26-2 in the Senate. So it's been a national favorite. It's been a state favorite. And I urge your consideration this morning.
Thank you. Questions? Yes.
Thank you. Madam Chair, thank you, Representative. This is a great bill in a lot of regards. The earned income tax credit is a great thing. I question why the addition of the individual taxpayer identification number section.
I would like to, if I may, refer some of these the technical questions, but in general, you'll get more detail probably from them. We have a broad number of people in the state that are earning, are working and paying taxes. This is another way to ensure that they can participate and receive the same benefits as anybody else is working. So,
thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for joining us. And Kyle, do you want to go ahead and make that correction for the record?
Sure. Yes. Previously, when I was looking at the wrong fiscal impact, I was looking at House Bill 2138. But for House Bill 3028, the fiscal impact was a light statement for the transmittal of the bill to this committee. So the light statement did note that there could be an impact on the House Committee on Revenue, and there'll be further analysis at this time expected.
Great. Thank you. Okay, so now we'll go to the panel that I announced previously. That's Matt, Janet, and Mogley. Forgive me if I mispronounced your name, I hope.
Good morning, Chair Marsh, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Matt Newell Ching. I'm the Public Affairs Director for Partners for a Hunger-Free Oregon. Along with a few others, I'm also the co-chair of the Renew and Raise Oregon Coalition, which is the coalition to renew and raise Oregon's earned income tax credit. Thank you for hearing this bill this morning, which addresses the need to renew Oregon's earned income tax credit. We're here today to discuss House Bill 3028, which raises and improves Oregon's earned income tax credit as well. We were here before testifying in February about a bill that included a a different way to raise the earned income tax credit. And today we're here to talk about specifically House Bill 3028. So the Renew and Raise Coalition is a coalition of over 50 organizations that have endorsed House Bill 3028. Organizations is a very diverse sector of organizations and includes businesses such as Oregon Business Council, Oregon Business and Industry, and Main Street Alliance. OBI was here, was hoping to testify today, but unfortunately could not. It includes labor groups, nonprofit and community groups such as the Human Services Coalition of Oregon, Oregon Food Bank, and Habitat for Humanity. It includes culturally specific organizations such as CAUSA, APANO, Coalition of Communities of Color. It includes healthcare groups as well as faith-based groups, and we're going to hear from some of those today as well. So the bill that is up, and actually a full list of the endorsers can be found. Oh, thank you so much. Up on OLIS here, that's the full list of 50 endorsers, and there are also some individual endorsers as well. Treasurer Tobias Reed could not be here this morning; he's out of town, but had testified when it was up in the policy committee bill. We also thank the members of the committee who are co-sponsors of the bill, which include Chair Marsh, Representative Hernandez, and Representative Breschke. Thank you. So the bill, as Kyle mentioned, has, in addition to raising the earned income tax credit, has several changes to it. One is that it would raise the earned income tax credit up to 12% for most filers, and this would be a step in the right direction for Oregon to try to match what other states are doing with the earned income tax credit. Many other states have significantly higher earned income tax credit match rates. Of the states that have refundable tax credits, of the states that have refundable earned income tax credits, Oregon is among the lower and as among the at the lower end of those. Monday morning, and so this would help bring us kind of toward the middle of the pack. And it would also expand the credit for families with young kids, it would add an additional category for kids with. Whose kids are ages 3 through age 6. And the additional thing that the bill would do is it would expand, it would address an inequity in the federal credit, which is it would expand the credit to filers with individual taxpayers identification numbers or ITINs. And so we want to take a little bit of time here. We'd be happy to answer questions as well to express why we are hopeful that that will happen. Taxpayers can have individual taxpayer identification numbers for a number of reasons, most are immigrant households who don't otherwise qualify for a Social Security number. I would stress that the earned income tax credit goes primarily to households with kids, and there are over 70,000 citizen kids who are in households that are ineligible for the earned income tax credit because the federal exclusion for families with ITINs is a very broad exclusion. Only one member of the household with an ITIN has to, only one member of the tax filing household has to have an ITIN for the entire family to be disqualified for the earned income tax credit. So you can have, we've come across stories where, mom has a social, two kids have a social, dad's trying to reunite, but the entire family is disqualified from the credit. And again, we can't do anything about the federal credit because those are federal rules. But Oregon, and actually there are a number of states that are looking at this as well, that are trying to address and make sure that families with ITINs have access to this assistance. Janet's going to talk a little bit about the return on investment of the earned income tax credit. And I would stress for kids in these households, these are the leaders of the future. These are Oregon's, as we think about what Oregon's going to look like in 20, 40, 60 years. This is an investment in kids across Oregon. It's going to make our communities stronger. It's going to make our businesses thrive. It's going to make every community in Oregon healthier. So with that, I will turn it over to Janet, and after the panel, we'll be happy to answer any questions.
Good morning, Chair Nathanson and members of the committee. My name is Janet Bauer. I'm a policy analyst with the Oregon Center for Public Policy. And as Matt mentioned, I'm going to talk about the bang for the buck. What do we get when we increase Oregon's earned income tax credit? Well, clearly, the first thing is that we get increased living standards for our lowest income working households. And the average federal credit for Oregon households with children is $2,900. $1,500. That's a yearly amount on average, which makes a substantial difference in the budgets of people raising children. It reduces the overall poverty rate by 10% and the poverty rate amongst children by 12%. Clearly, there's been a lot of research done on the impacts on children's on outcomes for children. First of all, EITC children are healthier. They also do better in school. They are more likely to finish high school. They're more likely to go to college. They, unsurprisingly, also earn more as adults. In addition, the Earned Income Tax Credit improves the economy. You may be interested to know that originally the EITC was created in part to boost the economy. And you can see that it's really effective in providing extra resources for households who will spend those dollars meeting their basic needs. This is what a stimulus does. So it supports the economy. The federal EITC brings more than $600 million into Oregon each year, and rural communities are disproportionately benefit. There is another benefit. We all often talk about the participation rate and how many people are using the Earned Income Tax Credit. Boosting our base rate will modestly improve, can be expected to improve participation. Like others have suggested, the EITC reduces use of other state services. So we can expect to see some modest decrease in other parts of the budget by increasing this particular credit. So that is a synopsis of my findings and research on what we get fiscally for by raising the Earned Income Tax Credit, and I'll turn it over to my colleague who can talk more about ITINs, I believe. Thank you.
Good morning, members of the committee. I am Magali Garcia, volunteer coordinator for CASH Oregon, where we work to expand access to and maximize the impact of the Earned Income Tax Credit. Last year, volunteers income tax services in Oregon through our network with AARP Tax Aid Foundation prepared over 5,000 tax returns, bringing over $50 million in federal refunds dollars, an amount maximized by an additional $12 million through savings on preparation tax fees. Thank you for this opportunity for me to speak in front of you. It is hard to overstate the value of the income tax credit to clients with whom we work, whose average household income is about $27,000 a year. Nearly half our clients report using at least part of their refund to pay bills, debts, showing how critical refundable credits like the EITC child credit are to making up for the gaps in family budgets. Every year we hear how tax refunds are offering opportunities to access medical care, stabilize housing, or pay deposits to get into housing, establish a new business, pay down debts, and grow savings. Together, these opportunities grow financial resilience and our communities. Just to make you, to give you these are a basic explanation of how important it is, but I wanna give you just one example. Not only that I am the volunteer coordinator, but I am certified to prepare taxes. And I also serve as an interpreter for Latino families. One of the examples that I can offer to you, members of the panel, I was helping a family of a single mother with three children, one 12, one 8, and one 4. She got about $2,500 in tax refunds. And we have a survey that we have to ask them, what would you do with your refund? Are you able to save some money? She bluntly said, no, I won't be saving any money. And I wonder, why not? And she said, well, because with this refund, I'm going to be able to buy 3 beds for my kids. That might sound not as important to some people, but to have a warm bed in their house is a big deal. Like Matt said, this could be give children a safe haven, a warm household that made them secure to feel that they have a future in this beautiful nation. Thank you so much.
Questions?
Yes, question for Matt.
Yes.
Matt, what is the bill number of the companion bill that you talked about in February?
Yes. Chair Marsh, Representative Finley, the companion bill.
So was that the LC?
It was the first House bill. I don't have that right in front of me. There could get a lifeline to somebody in the audience for that. What we tried to do is we tried to make sure that those who posted information of like testimony in favor of the bill also posted for House Bill 3028. It was the bill, I can't remember what the bill number is, but the bill was it started off as a clean extension of the earned income tax credit, and then it was amended to look identically to how we intended it to look. Representative Reschke looks like.
Madam Chair, I think it's House Bill 2120. It also increased the earned income tax credit from 8% to 16%.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
Any other questions for this panel? Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And the next panel we have is Chris Vogel, Howard Kenyon, and Megan McCarthy.
Hi, my name is Howard Kenyon, and I live in Portland, Oregon. Thank you for allowing me to explain why I fully support HB 3028. I come as a member of Ecumenical Ministries of Oregon, but actually I'm here on behalf of myself and my own story, even though EMO does support this bill. EITC has been a lifesaver for my family and for me. I'm asking you to raise and as well as renew the EITC. If you ask me how my family could have benefited from a higher level of help from EITC, there is zero doubt. Those were lean, hard years in which we are still in the process of catching up. And I say that as a man who's 64 and only has so much more time to catch up. To set the stage, I have a PhD. And I had until my early 50s a successful career leading an NGO in China, supervising a team of more than 100 international and local personnel. In 2007, for health reasons, my own health reasons, my wife and I returned to the U.S. and settled with our four teenagers in Portland. And then in May of 2008, we bought a house. Then, just as the 2008 Great Recession hit, we had to resign our international position and start looking for work locally, work that was not to be had, work of any kind. Tapping every resource we could, including all of our retirement investments and going far into debt, we came within 4 months in 2010 of losing our house and moving out of the area to live with our parents just to survive. Moving in with my in-laws in our 50s and with four teenagers, I assure you that had never been on my bucket list. Finally, in mid-2010, my wife and I found part-time work. Our retired parents remained generous in their help. I became a client of the food pantry I managed. With a combined income of $42,000 per year, we were still losing ground. Then a friend, a taxpayer, a tax preparer, recommended EITC. And for that season in our lives, EITC became a lifeline that steadied our bank accounts and got us through. Gradually, our income rose. My wife went back to school to earn her MSW from Portland State and went on to be a Sunsite manager for ERCO, working with low-income students. I am now Vice President of Ecumenical Ministries of Oregon and represent that organization on the Oregon Hunger Task Force, the Oregon Food Bank Advocacy Committee, and the local Emergency Food and Shelter Boards. Our kids have been graduating from college and becoming gainfully employed, actively serving those less privileged. My wife and I are still in Oregon, happily paying it all back through taxes, nonprofit engagement, and volunteer work, serving others whose lives have followed similar paths into those valleys where you don't know how you will ever get out, no matter how hard you work. People who can, like us, make it because of EITC. Thank you.
Madam Chair and the members of the committee, my name is Megan McCarthy. I'm here on the behalf of my employer, Peace Health. We are a nonprofit healthcare system with 4 hospitals in Oregon, and on behalf of the Oregon Business Council's Poverty on Task Force, which is working to reduce the overall numbers living in poverty in Oregon to below 10%, and at the same time increasing the communities with opportunities for families to thrive. In my role at Peace Health, I serve as the systems director for community health. So I have the privilege of waking up every day and working on how to make our families healthier. And I want to add, we've had some amazing testimony, and I just want to add a little bit of the healthcare lens to this discussion, is that financial stress can have a huge impact on our families. And I will point out that financial stress impacts, has some very important impacts on our mothers and our families. But I also think it's important for us to think about our future mothers. And if you look at the United States and our rates of prenatal health and our incidence of low birth weight, part of that reason is that we have a tendency to add support once a woman is already pregnant. So as we've heard today, a lot of our testimonies are about young families, and we may be looking at a young family with one child that might be in the future adding 2 or 3 down the road. And so the earned income tax credit does provide a very strong support financially for those basic necessities. So after a bed, that precious home environment, a large portion of that is high quality nutrition that we're understanding more and more. And so when we really peel back some of these layers of how the earned income tax credit can support health, it's an invaluable investment at very, very precious timing in families and future families' lives. So I just would want to reinforce how important those are, and overall lend our support to the earned income tax credit as being a proven, effective way to help our families lift themselves out of poverty, and also to counter the benefit drop-off cliff when families are raising themselves up the economic ladder. So thank you for your time today and for your work in helping Oregon.
Chair, members of the committee, I'll defer to the League of Women Voters testimony in OLIS. I'm Christine Vogel with the League of Women Voters. We are typically very skeptical of tax credits. We consider them to be a leaky sieve that takes money away from revenue, and believe that the usual processes within the legislature that takes things before the Ways and Means Committee is usually the best way to go. The earned income tax credit is an exception to our skepticism on tax credits. We believe that it does a good job of catching the lowest income people who are eligible to file taxes and provides additional much needed resources. And we do support Renew and Raise. And we are very thankful that this earned income tax credit also provides additional support for those with young children. Thank you.
Sure. Okay. Questions? Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And we don't have anyone else signed up to testify, unless there's anyone who walked into the room. Sure. Come on up.
Thank you. Madam Chair, members of the committee, for the record, John Mullen with AARP. I also am board president of the Oregon Center for Public Policy, and I just really want to commend the really good work of Janet Bauer working on this issue with the Raise and Renew Coalition. Human Services Coalition and others have a long track record with earned income tax credit, in fact, first advocating for the first state earned income tax credit. So I'm very, very supportive. But with that, I also just want to raise an issue relating to AARP members. AARP has a number of studies out that show older workers, low-income workers that are on the earned income tax credit are very vulnerable, and they also get a lesser amount if they don't have a qualifying child. There's also an odd little thing that happens with a cutoff at age 64 when people will be in the workforce before pre-retirement age, the full retirement age at 66. And then finally, I just want to mention something that has nothing to do with this particular bill per se, but it's a parallel issue, and it has to do with relief for people who are not in the workforce. So again, being very supportive of earned income tax credit, but there are people, older people, people with disabilities that are not in the workforce that don't qualify for things like the earned income tax credit. So that's just something for a little bit of input at this point in time, and I appreciate the opportunity to testify. Thank you.
Questions? Thank you very much for your last minute addition. And with that, we will close the public hearing. And I think that ends our meeting, unless I'll hand it back to the real chair.
There's no other business, right? We're adjourned.
Thanks.